This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Is it curtains for Franken? Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Thursday, December 7. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Minnesota Senator Al Franken will announce a decision about his political future today after another woman came forward to accuse him of sexual misconduct.
President Trump has officially recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. He also said he supports a two-state solution with the Palestinians.
An estimated 300,000 people have been told to evacuate from the handful of Southern California wildfires.
And the money you'll need for medical expenses in retirement.
It's the elephant in the room, your health care and retirement. And this is something that a lot of advisors are really urging their clients and consumers at large to be looking at. You know, it's about $275,000 is the estimate.
Kelly Grant on the $275,000 retirement expense. She's here in about 20 minutes. President Trump has granted U.S. recognition to Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. It's not clear what the decision will mean for Washington's quest for peace between the Israelis and Palestinians, a quest that has lasted decades. Mr. Trump also ordered the State Department to begin moving the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv. His decision is part of a campaign promise to core supporters. He also said the U.S. would support a two-state solution, including a separate state for Palestinians that he had previously declined to endorse.
We are not taking a position of any final status issues, including the specific boundaries of the Israeli sovereignty in Jerusalem or the resolution of contested borders.
Israeli leaders were nearly alone among foreign officials in applauding Mr. Trump's decision. Israeli's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Mr. Trump's recognition of Jerusalem is an important step toward peace. Others predicted it would make the peace process more difficult. Minnesota Senator Al Franken is facing mounting pressure to resign over allegations of sexual misconduct and is expected to make an announcement about his future today. Fellow Democratic senators, including Kamala Harris of California, started calling on him to resign yesterday after a report by Politico that a congressional aide said Mr. Franken had tried to forcibly kiss her in 2006.
The numerosity and the type of complaints and accusations have led me to believe that it is probably in the best interest of a lot of people that he resigns.
Calls to resign also came from Minority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York, Dick Durbin of Illinois, and almost all the Democratic women. Minnesota Public Radio reports he'll resign today. His office said in an email that he's still discussing it with his family. After accusations began surfacing 3 weeks ago, Mr. Franken said he would remain in office and work to regain the trust of voters. Wind-driven wildfires that broke out in Southern California have destroyed more than 184 homes and forced evacuations of tens of thousands of residents. Here's what we know so far from USA Today. The biggest fire started Monday evening in Santa Paula with help from fierce Santa Ana winds. That's where Susie Ayala lives.
Now that the winds are coming back, it's the fire's coming back also, so it's dangerous out there.
The Thomas Fire has burned at least 90,000 acres. Veronica Perez was spraying her roof with a garden hose to protect against flying embers.
We're going to keep spraying, and I guess if it gets really bad, then, you know, we're ready to leave.
There were five separate blazes. The Thomas Fire, which started in Ventura County, northwest of downtown Los Angeles, is the largest. It's 5% contained and has destroyed 150 structures. Two others are no more than 10% contained. Nearly 300,000 people have been told to evacuate. It's 10 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
Credit products are made by WebBank. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.
I was making great progress on building my savings, but then I get hit with an unexpected car repair bill.
Keeping a close eye on my credit score allowed me to buy my first house, but an unexpected medical emergency set me back.
When the unexpected happened, Avant was there to help. If you need to borrow $2,000 to $35,000, try Avant. It's fast, simple, and transparent.
Everything is done online. There are no prepayment fees, and no collateral is required. And you can instantly check your rate with no impact to your credit score.
Over 500,000 customers have experienced the convenience of a loan through Avant. No wonder Avant has an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. And now, Avant will give you a $50 Amazon.com gift card after your first payment is made on time. To check your rates and to get this special radio offer, go to Avant.com today and enter promo code 2525 when applying. That's AVANT.com, promo code 2525. Go to Avant.com today and enter promo code 2525.
Hey, reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter with the username at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well with the username at Gordon Deal. The GOP hierarchy is fracturing over Roy Moore, the party's Senate nominee in Alabama, with the Senate Campaign Committee continuing to withhold support for him despite President Trump's decision to endorse him. More on what's happening from Wall Street Journal national political reporter Janet Hook. Janet, where does it stand?
It is a story that has changed day by day, where Donald Trump and his Republican Party leadership stands on Roy Moore's candidacy. He's the Republican candidate for the Senate special election, which is just coming up in a few days. And initially, Trump was opposed to him in the runoff election when he supported his opponent. Then after Roy Moore got involved, was the subject of accusations of sexual misconduct with minors. A lot of Republicans repudiated him, including the Republican National Committee and the National Republican Senatorial Committee, the two main party arms. Trump really kind of never quite came down on it. And as time has passed, the polls showed Roy Moore improving, and kind of it felt a little bit out of the blue. Trump the other day just came out, flat out endorsed him. Immediately after that, he basically ordered the Republican National Committee to restore support for him. So you had Trump and the RNC going from opposing or being lukewarm about Roy Moore to supporting him. The Senatorial Campaign Committee, though, has remained steadfastly on the sidelines, not supporting Roy Moore. So you have two arms of the same party hierarchy taking opposite positions on their Senate Republican candidate in Alabama.
You mentioned the switch out of the blue. What actually brought about the change in support? Have the accusers lost credibility? What happened?
No, I don't think that is... Well, you never quite know why Donald Trump pushes the button on a tweet. He didn't really say... I mean, the run-up to it was he had started tweeting and speaking out in criticism of Moore's Democratic opponent, Doug Jones, saying he's too liberal for the state, yeah. He won't support my agenda. And so then he went from criticizing his opponent to openly supporting Roy Moore. I mean, the one thing that I can say is that the polls had improved, and one thing we know about Donald Trump is he likes to back a winner. There was a while there where the polls, quite implausibly for a state as Republican as Alabama, the polls showed that Doug Jones was ahead in the aftermath of the news first breaking about the sexual misconduct.
Yeah.
So it may be the polls changed. It may be that somebody in Moore world persuaded Trump that he could make the difference. Who knows?
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal national political reporter Janet Hook. Her piece is called GOP Fractures on Roy Moore's Bid for Alabama Senate Seat. What about this conspiracy that's been floated that Roy Moore wins, he takes the oath of office, then there's the Senate investigation, he's expelled from office, and conveniently the governor of Alabama appoints a successor?
Well, it's not a conspiracy. I mean, some Senate Republicans have openly talked about how they think that his behavior is concerning enough that if he becomes a senator and then he's under the purview of the Senate Ethics Committee, he should be investigated. And the ethics committee now is investigating allegations of sexual misconduct by Senator Franken.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the way the process works. Whether then there would be enough, they would find enough, or there would be the political will to actually expel him remains to be seen.
What about this this fracture that you talk about within the party? Is that something that will last?
Yes, and in fact, it's a reflection of a division that's been kind of surfacing at different times throughout the year since Trump became president. The difference between the Republican National Committee, the RNC, which is now supporting Moore, and the National Republican Senatorial Committee, which is not supporting Moore, is the difference between the Mitch McConnell wing of the party and the Donald Trump wing of the party.
Thanks, Janet. That's Janet Hook, Wall Street Journal national political reporter. Mr. Moore faces Democrat Doug Jones next Tuesday in Alabama. It's 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Port in Southern California has felt yellow wind, orange wind, and red wind, but never purple until now. The color-coded system showing the expected strength of the winds driving the region's fierce wildfires has reached uncharted territory, pushing past red, which means high, into the color that means extreme. L.A. Fire Department spokesman Peter Sanders.
We're still surrounding the fire. We are addressing any flare-ups that happen and attacking it as well from the air. So we are in active firefighting and containment mode all night.
Southern California has already been hit hard by three major fires that have put tens of thousands of people under evacuation orders and destroyed at least 200 homes and buildings. Palestinians are shuttering schools and shops and calling for protests in West Bank towns in a show of anger over President Trump's recognition of bitterly contested Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Trump's dramatic break with decades of U.S. policy on Jerusalem counters longstanding international assurances to the Palestinians that the fate of the city will be determined in negotiations. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu welcomed the news.
The president's decision is an important step towards peace. For there is no peace that doesn't include Jerusalem as the capital of the state of Israel.
The Palestinians seek Israeli-annexed East Jerusalem, captured by Israel in 1967, as a future capital. According to a new whistleblower account, Donald Trump was just 11 minutes into his presidency when his choice for National Security Advisor Michael Flynn texted a former business partner to say an ambitious U.S. collaboration with Russia to build nuclear reactors in the Middle East was good to go. Flynn also assured the partner that U.S. sanctions on Russia that could block the nuclear project would be ripped up once Trump was inside the White House. When you think nightmare commute, you probably think L.A. or New York. But the metro area with the longest average one-way commute is actually East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. A Census Bureau study found that East Stroudsburg tops the chart with a 39-minute one-way commute ahead of New York and Jersey City at 37 minutes, and New York and Newark areas at 36 minutes. Silver Spring, Maryland comes in fourth, with Washington, D.C. right behind.
East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, really?
I believe that's... it. Do you ever go there on Route 80? You just sit there. I believe it.
I guess I've never been there in rush hour. I have been there, but not,
yeah,
I guess,
not
in rush
a lot
hour.
Of ways to get around.
Wow. Thank you, Jen. It is 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Any idea what health care in retirement might cost, say, around the age of 65? If you guessed somewhere north of $250,000, you're right. How do you plan for that, assuming you won't win the lottery before then? Here's Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. Kelly, what do we have?
It's the elephant in the room, your health care and retirement. And this is something that a lot of advisors are really urging their clients and consumers at large to be looking at. You know, it's about $275,000 is the estimate from Fidelity, and that sounds like a pretty big calculation, but unfortunately it's actually pretty bare bones. It just is including premiums, cost sharing, and out-of-pocket costs associated
wow.
with Medicare. It doesn't include things like over-the-counter medications, dental care, and long-term care. So you might actually be looking at an even bigger bill than that.
Holy cow. How did it get this big over, I don't know, a certain period of time? Because this, I know this number's been floated, you know, for several years now. How did it get so out of control?
Well, I mean, a lot of this is us living longer in retirement. So, you know, as Fidelity is looking at those numbers, you know, this is a 65-year-old couple retiring this year. So this isn't like, you know, if you're by yourself, this is not going to be necessarily a $275,000 expense. You know, but a 65-year-old couple could easily live 30 years in retirement.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you really break down those numbers into an annual cost, it's not necessarily that intimidating, but it does become a pretty big number as you're looking overall and sort of saying, how much do I need for retirement? How prepared can I be? What are the strategies that I could use to make sure I'm accounting for all these things?
Right. You know these numbers as well as anybody. So I'll ask, so the number could be at a minimum $275,000 in retirement to pay for health care. Yet what percentage of Americans don't even have that saved, like as a retirement fund?
Well, that's a pretty scary part of things. You know, we've written a piece recently looking at million-dollar poverty and this idea that, $1 million has long been the standard for retirement savings. But, you know, when you look at how long people are living, the expenses that they face, that's not necessarily enough to really give you a good standard of living, especially as you factor in inflation and other factors that are coming into play.
Right.
It shouldn't be that frightening for people either. If you don't have a million, that doesn't mean, you know, you're going to be in dire shape either. A lot of this does vary pretty substantially on, you know, everything from, you know, how healthy you are, where you're living, what sort of a lifestyle you have. You know, it's really a good opportunity to run the numbers and talk to somebody who can help you with your individual situation and needs. And there are a lot of different options that could help you with better planning for this.
You mentioned you could go about giving your healthcare financial plan a checkup. How do you do that?
So obviously, you know, one thing you could do would be to talk to a financial advisor about that, because they often have a lot of different ways that they can run different projections. You know, it's everything from figuring out when is the optimal time for you to take Social Security to, you know, if you're younger, trying to think about things like, do you need or want long-term care insurance? Should you be funding a health savings account?
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com, also a certified financial planner. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, the holidays are here. Why not wow friends and family with a new type of gift, a package from Omaha Steaks? My wife loves the filet mignons. I'm a fan of the sausages. My kids prefer the burgers. You can't miss with the chicken and pork either. And that's just part of a special offer. For only $49.99, you can get the family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter my code Gordon in the search bar. That's 75% off. Here's what you get in the family gift pack for less than $50. 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, and an Omaha steak seasoning packet. Plus, for free right now, 4 additional kielbasa sausages. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter my code Gordon in the search bar for a 75% savings. Again, omahasteaks.com, enter my code Gordon in the search bar.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Thursday, December 7th. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Minnesota Senator Al Franken announces his future political plans today. Trump recognizes Jerusalem as Israel's capital. 200,000 evacuate California wildfires. Wisconsin could drug test childless adults on food stamps. 76th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor today. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell has a new $200 million contract. And a new survey says millennials feel that being called a snowflake can be damaging to their mental health. Mall owners long treated gyms like pool halls, unwanted tenants that attracted lower rent visitors. Now they're giving health clubs some of their best real estate. It's a story from Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Bachman. Rachel, what's trending?
This happened some time ago at grocery-anchored strip malls, sort of neighborhood strip malls, but it's really gathered momentum there. And it's the most dramatic change is at large regional malls, where people come to understand as a mall, a big enclosed mall with sometimes hundreds of stores. And some of those malls are actually replacing department stores with large full-service health clubs, which just never used to happen. It's quite a sea change culturally.
All right, yeah, explain that too. Why is it that these gyms or other workout facilities were not welcome in malls?
Well, people associated them, and we're talking, mid-90s here, mall owners and tenants associated them with sort of a lower rent clientele, with sort of the teenage weightlifter who would, go pump iron and then maybe hang out in the parking lot and not shop at the other stores. And, of course, this perception meant that tenants did not want gyms anywhere near their stores, and they generally actually banned them from malls. And this lasted for quite some time. Things started to sort of thaw more in the last 10 years. Or so, and that's really picked up steam recently, partly because, of course, malls are a little more distressed than they used to be. More people are shopping online and they're overbuilt, but also the nature of fitness has really changed.
Do you think part of the reason that these gyms were not welcome was because of those pants those guys used to wear, like the muscle head guys used to wear? Could that have been part of it?
That's one theory. And in fact, you kind of hit on something important, actually. One of the reasons why people shop more is because there's nicer clothes to wear to the gym, and people feel comfortable wearing, like, yoga pants or, a well-tailored kind of jacket out of the gym and next door to the grocery store or down the road to the Hallmark store or something. So that is actually a contributing factor, that people are more comfortable wearing what are now nicer clothes to work out. The other thing that's changed dramatically is there's so many different options now in terms of fitness centers. In the 90s, it was the big box gym. That was really the only thing that was, universally available. Since then, we've had a couple of very large luxury chains, Equinox and Lifetime, that have spread all over the country. We have fitness boutiques that have exploded that are very specialized in, cycling or boot camp or other things like that. And those are much smaller, so those can fit into smaller malls. They can also fit into sort of more lifestyle type malls that are expanding and being sort of rebranded in that way. So fitness has really grown up, become more attractive at the high end, become more expensive, which makes a much more attractive shopping customer for these mall tenants and owners.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Bachman. Her piece is called "Malls Never Wanted Gyms, Now They Court Them." So how are gyms adjusting to, say, the stores that might be in these malls, or are other stores adjusting to, let's say, having a gym as a tenant alongside them? What's happening?
They seem to like it in most cases. There are still the odd, there is still the odd mall where people are worried about parking. That was the big concern for many years, that, gyms tend to be larger and they tend to fill up parking lots. So there are still some tenants who are concerned about that. But generally speaking, what malls say they're seeing are people coming in to work out. If they go to a fitness boutique, they usually just do one class. So, they're in and out in an hour. And then they'll often, go to Trader Joe's or go to another specialty grocery store nearby and pick up some ingredients for dinner, or shop at a retail clothing store. So they say, the mall owners are saying, they actually are seeing some spillover from these fitness centers, and it's actually a net gain for the shopping centers.
I was surprised at the percentage of mall properties that actually have gyms now. Explain, like, some of these ownership groups that you talk to.
Yeah, so Phillips Edison Company, for instance, owns several hundred grocery-anchored strip malls, small neighborhood malls. And, in the mid-90s, they had, just a tiny handful of centers with gyms. Now 44% of their grocery-anchored malls have some kind of fitness offering. And some of them have multiple offerings. So they'll have a yoga studio and a cycling studio, things like that. And they find that even as fitness studios can draw more traffic, they often also attract other fitness studios, which seems counterintuitive, but people like variety. So people who go to fitness boutiques often like to go to other fitness boutiques. So that also kind of feeds on itself.
Thanks, Rachel. Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Bachman. It is 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. on this Friday Eve. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, the police in one Washington State county have some good news and some bad news for the rest of us. The good news is they didn't find any lizard people. The bad news, they recently arrested a man who thought that lizard people were real and brought an arsenal of weapons into the streets to fight them because he says President Trump told him to do so. According to Fox News, the Pierce County Sheriff's Office said they received a call in Parkland, Washington, that a 54-year-old man had stopped his white SUV in the middle of an intersection, waved an AK-47, and screamed about sending in the news and lizard people. Police arrived at the scene, and the man allegedly resisted being handcuffed before police tasered him. According to police, the man said that he had snorted methamphetamine to lose weight and had been prescribed morphine. The man claimed that Trump told him that an alpha dragon had kidnapped his family and were holding them hostage, and he reportedly said he screamed because he wanted to attract the news vans so his story could be documented for history.
Wow. That is, by the way, police who took some pretty specific notes.
Yes.
Along the way.
Yes. And police who got there, I mean, right in the nick of time. I mean, imagine they get there, you know, 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
Who knows this guy in his state of mind, what could have happened, what tragedy could have happened there.
Wow.
So right now it's just sort of one of those crazy, bizarre news stories, but it could have been incredibly tragic if they hadn't gotten there when they did.
This, by the way, is going to make news again if, in fact, police there were wearing body cameras
right.
and somehow captured
yeah.
this insanity in the street.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to unpack here. The methamphetamine
gracious.
and the right. weapons, and again, somehow getting President Trump involved.
Yeah.
It's a little nuts.
Clearly some serious issues, though, going
mm-hmm.
on here. Wow.
And on a much, much lighter note, Gordon, there's been some debate recently about whether dogs or cats are the smarter pet. Here's one for the dog defenders. A dog that gave her owner the slip while out on a morning walk made her way through the busy streets of Chicago and showed up alone at her doggy daycare. The Canine Social Club in Chicago said workers were perplexed on Tuesday morning when a frequent daycare guest named Isabella followed another customer in through the front doors without her collar, tags, or any sign of her owner. The canine's owner said Isabella had slipped down of her harness while walking about 15 minutes before she showed up at the Canine Social Club. The front desk manager, who recognized Isabella, called the owner and told her dog had arrived safely on her own. It was likely a harrowing walk for Isabella as well, as her owner says she would have had to cross some busy and dangerous North Side streets in order to reach the doggy daycare.
How about that? Yeah, I got this.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can stay home. You relax. Take an extra 15 minutes before you got to go to work.
Yeah,
I'll find my way. Don't worry about it.
I'll text you when I'm ready to get picked up. Boy, we have a 1-year-old chocolate lab.
Yeah.
Who slips the leash on occasion.
Oh boy.
And the shock of freedom.
Yes.
Is so startling that she just stands there for a split second.
I've seen that before. Dogs are not used to being off the leash.
Right. And you can't chase the dog or else they think it's playtime
right.
or they just take off. So our thing is you have to run in the opposite direction
and
hope the dog chases you into the garage or into the backyard
yep.
where you can corral her. Yes. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour.
What makes a holiday card unforgettable? Personality. And no one makes it easier or more affordable to create a holiday card full of personality than Vistaprint. Right now, get 50% off all custom holiday cards. That means 30 cards start at less than $15. With hundreds of stunning designs, your personality will shine through with every card you send. Just go to Vistaprint.com today and enter the promo code HOLIDAY to get 50% off all custom holiday cards. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code HOLIDAY.
You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.com. A new study from the personal finance website NerdWallet found some 80% of parents are covering or have covered basic expenses for their children after they turn 18, which could cost parents $250,000 in lost savings over the course of retirement. It calculated the impact on savings if costs of adult children had been put into a retirement savings account, such as a 401k or IRA, instead.
The survey found most adult children live with their parents for more than a year after they turn 18, and 3 in 5 parents have a child 18 or older living with them. This comes in part due to rising housing costs and down payments, which keep more young adults from living on their own. Student debt, which has surpassed $1.4 billion, has also played a role. It is 8 minutes now in front of the hour. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a surge from the biggest of the wildfires burning in Southern California has forced several thousand more people to evacuate in a community of artists and resorts. Flames have been creeping closer and slowly surrounding the town of Ojai. Flames, now about 4 miles away, were visible from the city's downtown for the first time last night as ash rained down. This woman lives in Santa Paula.
Now that the winds are coming back, it's the fire's coming back also, so it's dangerous out there.
Thousands are under evacuation orders and over 200 buildings have been destroyed. His once promising political career in shambles. Minnesota Senator Al Franken appears on the verge of resigning after fellow Democrats led by female senators abandoned him over the mounting allegations of sexual misconduct. New York's Kirsten Gillibrand was the first to call for Franken's resignation.
We need to draw a line in the sand and say none of it is okay. None of it is acceptable, and we, as elected leaders, should absolutely be held to a higher standard, not a lower standard, and we should fundamentally be valuing women. And that is where this debate has to go.
Franken has scheduled an announcement for later today. Donald Trump Jr. refused to tell lawmakers about conversations he had with his father regarding a 2016 Trump Tower meeting with a Russian lawyer after emails detailing the meeting had become public. Speaking to the House Intelligence Committee behind closed doors yesterday, Trump Jr. said he didn't tell the president about the meeting when it happened, and he declined to elaborate on what he ultimately told him after the meeting became public. California Congressman Adam Schiff says Trump Jr. claims he couldn't speak about the conversations with his father this summer because of attorney-client privilege. But Trump Jr. and Jared Kushner attended that meeting with several Russian operatives under the impression they might receive damaging information about Hillary Clinton. Love him or hate him, he's here to stay. Roger Goodell has signed a 5-year contract extension to remain commissioner of the NFL through 2024. Goodell's extension has been a source of controversy because Cowboys owner Jerry Jones objected to the process.
Amazing. Some $200 million rumored, right?
Healthcare and a jet.
$40 million a year, a jet, healthcare.
Crazy.
That is something else. Shows you how powerful that league is. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. With a bill like a duck, but teeth like a croc's, a swan-like neck, and killer claws, a new species of dinosaur has been discovered. Scientists say it also had flippers like a penguin, and while it walked like an ostrich, it could also swim. CBS News says that's the first time swimming ability has been shown for a two-legged, meat-eating dinosaur. This tiny creature, only about a foot and a half tall, roamed 75 million years ago in what is now Mongolia. Its full, curled-up skeleton was found in a sandstone rock. A co-author of the study found its mashed-up body let it run and hunt on the ground and fish in fresh water. Researchers named it Halska Raptor, or Halska, after a late paleontologist from Poland named Halska Osmalska. Lead author from Italy said she was first suspicious about the fossil's authenticity, both because of its appearance and the fact that the rock containing the skeleton had been smuggled out of Mongolia and left in the hands of a private collector. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today.